Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Eben. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. And it's been a rainy night. And thank you for not sleeping, but staying awake to listen to this edition of Issues of Life. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And I'm starting a new series. We have, I think, 4 editions before the year ends, God willing. See how we can go through them. I hope to have someone joining me for these editions to talk about very important issues. This time around, we are finishing the year regarding these things, but it's mainly around children, and there's some strange things happening which we are going to be talking about it. And it's quite an important discussion that we'll be having. So if you're a parent, make it a point not to miss these editions as we finish the year. And you know, a lot is happening, a whole lot is happening, and we are in, as people normally call it, the information age. But the information age is also having its negative consequences, and these are the undermining factors, which is something that we have to be aware of. And the devil is not sleeping on the job, and Christians rather seem to be sleeping sometimes. And we will be looking at all these things, but first we look into the news and look at a few things before I get into the main thing. And so we have, before the news, we've had this back and forth all over the networks this week. The news, Wesley Girls, the Supreme Court case, and back and forth. I'm happy with the responses that the churches have given, Pentecostal, Presby has given today. I think Presec had their speech day, and PCG, they issued their statements, they spoke. Regarding God, Presec is also a mission school, and Methodist has also given their statements. Regarding the Wesley Girls issue as well, and the discourse is a bit interesting in the fact that Wesley Girls has been, I think, 189 years, if I'm not mistaken. All these years, they've had all sorts of religions being student being there. So the question is, why now? It's happened a few years ago, the back and forth, the fasting issues and all that, but some of these things you really have to understand it. But there was an MOU to this effect, and things seem to have died down, then suddenly we hear of the Supreme Court thing, someone taking it to court, Supreme Court, for interpretation of the constitution stuff and all. And so this whole discussion has come up. Then the education minister also escalates it, talks about it, his affiliation, he is on that side, so it's like talks passionately about it. And then today Joy News, they had a program Then Minister of Interior also waiting, says, you know, it's something, this whole thing. But the bottom line is, as Christians, we have to understand that we are in a certain season in the world. If you understand what is happening in the world now, I mean, regarding Europe, in the Middle East, in Americas, and other places, Australia and all that, there's a certain change. There's something happening. And, you know, so when you start hearing some of these things, you know, rearing its head, it shouldn't be surprising, because there's something happening. You know, Europe, for instance, is gone. Last week I said it, and I've been saying it for a long time. Europe is something. Europe is gone now. I mean, it's falling, let me put it that way. And America is having its challenges in some parts where gradually, you know, they are beginning to dominate. The Minnesota, for instance, is something else. Minnesota, I mean, their parts, you know, what most people don't know is there's a plan. They have a plan of dominating the world. That one is not a secret. They say it's, I mean, if you do research, check online YouTube, there are several videos of they saying it, that they are going to take over the world, their process of taking over the world, and all. So when you see these things happening, for those who understand the agenda being played, you know how and where to, you know, how to address it and where to address it. So that's what is happening. The church should not be oblivious. The church should not, I mean, really lose guard when it comes to these things. We have to understand the dynamics involved. And my biggest worry this week has been what the minister said, Minister of Education said at Parliament regarding the, let me leave that news item. Let me just start with the Canada. We start with Canada, where we have Quebec, and that's a province, Quebec, to ban public prayer in sweeping new secularism law. Secular. Interesting. Quebec says to intensify its crackdown on public displays of religion in the sweeping new law that critics say pushes Canadian provinces into private spaces and disproportionately affects Muslims. See, and then we have Bill 9, introduced by the governing coalition Avenir Quebec on Thursday, bans prayer in public institutions, including in colleges and universities. It also bans communal prayer on public roads and parks, with the threat of the fines of $1,125 Canadian for groups in contravention of the prohibition. Short public events with prayer approval are exempt. And then goes on. It plans to extend the prohibition to anyone working in daycare, colleges, universities, and private schools. Full face coverings will be banned for anyone in those institutions, including students. Quebec Secularism Minister Jean-Francois Rubenc said the controversial new provisions were the latest steps in the province working towards full secularization. That means they are taking out everything, anything religion out of their system. And, you know, this is the fine line. Is it looks like somebody says it's a good thing, it's a good, but when it starts somewhere and then gradually, virtually, it's like everything and anything God is out. That's how they are playing the game. Quebec's secularism minister, Jean-Francois, said the controversial new provisions were the latest steps in the province working towards full secularization. He criticized previous accommodations by post-secondary institutions, including prayer rooms, telling reporters the schools are not temples or churches for those kinds of places. The ban on public prayer comes after a group of Montreal for Palestine organized Sunday protests outside the city's Notre Dame Basilica that included prayers. It's shocking to see people blocking traffic, taking possession of the public space without permits, without warning, and then turning our streets and our parks and our public squares into places of worship. The province is also limiting the offer of kosher, and as the Jewish foods, and then the halal meals in public institutions. Yes, this halal, I know most people are not aware of it, but for those who know and are aware, have you taken note that now a number of things you buy now, even some milk, they've written halal? You buy frozen chicken, the box, they've written halal on it. There are a whole lot of food products that now they've written halal. I was amazed and shocked when I was at a program somewhere, and this issue came up when I talked about it, and everybody there didn't know about this, and I was really surprised, because what it means is this is food that has been sacrificed, for the Islamic sacrifices, it's food that they accept, they approve. Previously it was the meat and all that, but then now we are seeing it on all sorts of products. As I said, even milk and all, a lot of products now, when you look on the labeling, you see halal. You see, this is something which Christians have to be aware of. And then you see, realize that then, when you say that food is not as simple as we see it as just food, but food has a spiritual significance as well. This is one of the meanings to these things. That's why you just don't eat anything by heart without prayer. We have to, we are living in interesting times, and Christians need to be very aware of the times we are in and the systems playing around us. That's why we have to be very, very, very spiritual. Because, you see, ask yourself, if there's nothing at play, if it's just ordinary food, why the need to make a type of food or make it something friendly or make it their way? They have a reason for it. And so far as there's a significant spiritual reason why that is how they want it, then a Christian cannot be ignorant about it. Because if you are talking of spirituality regarding food, then you cannot be ignorant about it, and you cannot downplay it as though it doesn't matter. No, it matters. That's why we just shouldn't just be eating freely without any... These days, Christians eat any without serious prayer about what they are eating. Anything goes. We just don't know. We just think it's nothing. Oh, it's nothing. But people are doing sacrifices over the foods before being sold. People are doing a lot of things. So, I know of instances where, I had a pastor friend who is no longer, he's gone on, passed on. He told me he went to eat at a restaurant, and after eating there, he struggled. His prayer life was there. Hell, he struggled for some time before he was able to regain composure. You see, these are things to let you understand that what you eat and where you eat, it can have an effect. It can have a serious effect. So if someone has sacrificed food to his whichever way that makes it spiritually friendly and acceptable to him, and you as a Christian think, oh, it doesn't matter, then please, it matters. That's why we have to be spiritual. Okay, Anglican priest dies in captivity after being kidnapped in Nigeria amid wave of abductions. And Nigeria's issue is worrying. The government's posture, the government's response. Yes, they freed some of the students who were kidnapped, and looked like ransoms were paid. But if you hear the commentary of some officials and some religious leaders there, it tells you that U.S. issue is far from, very far, 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 far from being solved. And it's one thing which we have to remember them in our prayers. Because, you see, for those who listened to last week's edition of this program, I mean, it's clear. I mean, you heard what, you know, my friend was talking about. We had Dr. Bola Adewara on the program by phone, joining from Nigeria, Lagos. And I mean, these are the realities on the ground. If we think it's somebody's house matter, we are deceiving ourselves, because what is happening in Nigeria, the direct effect will be on Ghana. Because already this week, I've been hearing commentary, I've seen people talking about the number of Nigerians coming to Ghana, and government should do something about it, and it's becoming this, becoming that, and all that. I saw a video of people in long queues at the airports boarding planes to Ghana. I saw a video of a bus arriving and people getting off. You know, so they are coming. I mean, that one is the fact. But as Christians, what can we do about it? The least we can do is pray. Because per the ECOWAS protocols, we can't say that they shouldn't come. The least we can do is to pray. Because it's very important to do so. And we have this last item, or last but one, yes. And then, so the minister was in parliament and said the tablets, for those who remember last year when they were saying that they've given tablets to SHS and, you know, digitization, whatever, I sat here and I criticized that move. And I just don't see the head and tail of it, because, you see, when you put tablets in the hands of SHS students, that you are going to put questions and books on it to learn. I mean, it's funny, and it's also worrying, because it tells you that we have a long way to go. I don't know how sometimes we deceive ourselves that when a child holds tablets, that makes them globally, they also, they've arrived in the global world of IT, and that makes them, you know, it's not using tablet that will make them be IT savvy in terms of, like, these are not the things. We are talking of the consequences. So now a minister says they are using it to watch pornography. And that is it. I mean, you see, some of us knew, I warned that, you see, when you give this thing to them without any settings on it, they are going to use it for pornography, they are going to use it for betting and all. Because unrestrained and uncontrolled usage, if you give it to them like that, clearly something, they are just going to use it. Because, you see, this is the society we are in now. This is the way they are behaving. So when you give it to them now, then that means if you are not, it's either you are putting the full control measures in place so that it becomes just read-only devices. But when it's internet access available and it's internet ready, clearly the temptation is there. And that's what has happened. So I like what these people are saying. Education Watch, the think tank, African Education Watch, has urged the Ghana Education Service to retrieve government-issued tablets from senior high school students and equip them with proper safety controls before reintroducing them to use. And I agree perfectly. Something has to be done. You just don't give it to them like that without any software systems to ensure that it's protected, they are restricted, and all that. Even now, the question is, are the PDFs, the books they are even talking about, do they have them on the books, on the tablets? That's it. Sometimes, there are no right words to describe some of the decisions made by politicians. Because, you see, clearly, I mean, countries run ahead of us into giving devices to children and students, and they've seen the consequence, and they are going back to it, back to the books, because they've seen that the books are not helping. No, sorry, the tablets are not helping. The computers are not helping them learn, because now there's evidence to show the consequence of the overexposure to devices, aside the other factors and all, even health-wise, their eyes, the blue lights, a whole lot of things. So who did the assessment that they need, instead of giving them books to read and textbooks to read, and then they write, and then you say, let's give them tablets. You know, you just wonder, is this how we want to help our children? Is this the best way to help them? But, you know, that's how we find ourselves in, because that's where we find ourselves in, because when decisions are being taken like this, without experts being consulted to give their feedback and their opinions and all that. Because I know some experts they contacted the ministry with some precautions and all that. They were ignored. I mean, this one I know firsthand, because they did their best, because they knew that this was going to happen. I mean, so that I'm not surprised about what the minister is saying, because some of us knew that clearly this is going to happen, and that is what the minister is saying. At least thank God that we have a minister who is a bit concerned. So I hope they are going to listen to, you know, what these things are coming up and all that. No, Sweden banned screens. They did it, and the results is alarming. The sudden change when they banned the screens, the students' performance and everything, when they went back to books, went higher. You see, so there is not that, like, there's evidence. There are countries that have, if not at all, the Swedish case is there as a case study, that they were using, they went digital, full swing, and they saw that, no, the children were becoming, quote-unquote, more stupid. I mean, it wasn't helping them. They reversed, went back to book, pen, pencil, writing, and the performance of the children shot up again. So shouldn't we learn from this? And we we are misusing it, and we think this is the best way to use it. Okay, so anyway, we are talking about some of these things in the series we are on now, and you know, it's for some of us where we sit, it's a bit, sometimes it's annoying as well as worrying, because You just ask yourself, is it that there's an agenda in place to destroy the children? Because why would you do that in the first place? Why would you give a tablet to a child that can connect to the internet easily without any restraints on it, and say that you go and use it to learn? It's as if you are saying that, go and tempt yourself. Go and be tempted. And, I mean, come on. And that's what they've done. So It's worrying, but thank God some of us will talk about it, and those who listen will learn and know what to do and put in the right measures. The program is Issues of Life, Spirit FM. I'm Eben. I have with me Lady Pastor Hetsy. I've forgotten the surname, so she has to introduce the surname. Yeah, so good evening and welcome.
LP Henrietta Adom, Hetsy Adom in cancer.
Oh, okay. I know her as a school owner, a head teacher, but also a trained psychologist. Yes. So, and the reason why I actually brought her here, I'm in a community that online, you know, WhatsApp
Child Connect.
Yeah, WhatsApp community that she's created. I mean, group WhatsApp, and she's been dropping content, prayer points, and all that. And I just felt led that no, we should go this way the next few weeks before the year ends. We end the edition for the year, because there's a real issue at stake. And you know, let me start with myself, something that happened in my home so that people can understand the severity of this thing.
Yes.
No, in the last few weeks, I felt some uneasiness. I mean, for the children every day, I pray for them. I pray for every day. But then, sometimes you just feel something is not right, but you can't put your hand to it. Exactly yeah. what it is. So in such instances, prayer is the only thing. That's the only way you can handle it, because it's the spirit that. So I was on and on and on and on. Then for some strange reason. apparently my wife changed her phone and all this while I knew the phone was lying there, yeah. not knowing that the last boy has mm-hmm. taken it.
Mm.
And there's this Roblox, I'll talk about it briefly. It's a gaming platform. Parents have to be very, 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 now about 90 million users are on it daily.
Wow.
Worldwide.
Wow. 90 million.
Yes, every day, 90 million users. Roblox is
Roblox.
Roblox. Okay. It's one of the most popular platforms in the world. It's a gateway to a massive online universe hosting a seemingly endless number of mini games played by about 90 million users from 190 countries, including Ghana.
Wow.
The colorful block characters in Roblox look like child's play, but its open chat room function has a dark side.
Child's play as in the movie Child's Play, or like just for children?
So there are mini games there.
Okay.
It's like a platform. Okay. So you go there and then you choose the type of game. Then they also have chat rooms. Okay. And so it's a whole complex gaming system. I don't know. Yeah, they installed it on it. So, and then you remember we talked about character AI?
Yes.
Our conversation, we talked about character AI, where people now there are even court cases in the US now where some children committed suicide because of it. It helped them to commit suicide.
Wow.
So there are cases in the US now as we talk. So, what had led to the whole discovery was. I realized that the internet consumption was abnormal, extremely abnormal.
Okay.
I know my average usage per day, I'm doing backups, I'm doing this, my work and all. But then, my other boy, he has finished SS waiting to go to results. I've made him to learn some courses. So, but I also know the average usage.
Internet usage at home.
But the consumption now was
was beyond.
So I said no, this one there, not in my backyard. And so so in my checks, and then he told me that and their mother's old phone, the little boy was having it. Hey, did I say, Mamba? Hey, okay, a phone, you bra. Hey. The whole problem was it starts with there's this channel, what do you call it? They show this anime thing, this Japanese animation. Clock Sack, they have a channel.
It's called what?
No,
The TV station.
Yeah, Clock Sack, and they show it after school from 4:30 going every day. They show it. So he felt, I realized that he liked watching
those.
But the Japanese animation, I know about it, so I was okay with it. But then, in the last week, I realized that some of the editions, some of the characters look
they've changed
a bit demonic. So I even talked about it that you should stop watching. So then I noticed that because of this animation that he was watching on the Clocksack TV, his interest has so now he rather goes to YouTube to go and
watch
the series, and this is where the internet consumption
was. Okay, that's where the issue was from.
So I was just then I realized that the character AI2 has installed it on the phone.
Okay,
I said, hey, Asamaba. So then I saw the Roblox. All this on this phone. Hey, this
and this is from the little one.
Oh yeah, he's 13 now.
Okay.
And then it's like, wow. So for the phone, yeah, I took it. But then it made me analyze the whole thing, and I realized, I mean, I analyzed the thing, we're chatting about it and all that. So thank God, you see, he, so when I started talking about it, then he was rather telling me about, oh yes, he saw the demonic games and all that, but he
forfeited that, yes, one and went for,
he knows about this, so he avoided those ones. But then my worry now was not about what he was, but like, what about the other parents,
what other, it's true,
who have no idea it's about true. This
it's
and this
true.
Is happening, you see, as soon as it happens, this, that means it was being discussed in school, somebody in school introduced it to true. Them or to him, somebody very mentioned true. It, then he saw it. So I asked him, so where did he hear of character AI?
And then the first time I heard it was when you mentioned
yes,
it to me.
But then, see, when I asked him, he said, oh, he saw the advert online.
Wow.
So he clicked.
Merci.
And this is where the worry comes in as to how parents have to be extra vigilant now, because the whole game has changed. Because, you see, where you are looking at the left, but they are playing the game at the
but
right.
But even as you are talking, I'm getting excited. Excited because, I mean, when we had to come and do this, I've been praying about it.
Yeah.
And everything you are saying is virtually what the Lord led me to come and talk about this evening.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let me you finish. And then when
so
I
this
come
is the intro. The intro. So let me finish with the introduction.
Yeah.
Then because, I mean, people have to get the foundation.
It's true.
The whole reason why we are saying what we are saying. So now, that means the average parent doesn't know about this, which
your
I know.
Your child is safe because he has a parent who has actually, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talk about true. It. True. I mean, the cartoon, for instance, like,
they know what to watch and what not to.
So when I say something looks demonic and all that, they don't argue. You know, so now my worry is these things are in Ghana. You know, the character AI, when I read about the news on this edition a few weeks ago or 2 months ago, and it's like, oh, in the US, committing suicide.
It looks like it's far away.
See, it will look like, oh, it's in America. So, I mean, Trump, Krum, the
Messi.
But Messi now, children in Kumasi are using it. And that is where the worry and the danger is. So if it's with us here now, Roblox, Ghanaian children are using it. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners. Today is the first time they are hearing about this
today
Roblox.
Today is personally my first time of hearing Roblox. I mean, you spelled it. R-O-B-L-O-X.
But then, this is where parents have to be checking those who have their children having tablets and computer usage in the home and all that, to have an idea what is happening. Installations have they made? What apps are they playing with on the phones or on the tablets or on the computers at home?
Yeah.
These are the things. This week I was so worried and disappointed when I opened my Google Chrome and I seriously, these people are they've updated it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had incognito mode. It was not too open.
Yeah.
Where you can browse and your history is secret
true,
and all that.
True.
Now, if you open that, like you update the new one, you open on your phone, it's right on the first page. So the AI mode and then now incognito mode. Right,
it's
on
just there.
So it's no longer hidden.
Wow.
And you see, so like,
there's a child.
So it's like, you see, now it's becoming easier to fall into the traps that are online. But then my main emphasis is these battles cannot be fought with only strategies and principles and the do's and the don'ts and don'ts and don'ts and don'ts alone. If you don't attack it from the spiritual side, prayer first, you lose it. Oh yes, because so now it makes sense as to why the urge to pray about these things in the last few weeks was very intense.
Yeah.
It makes meaning to me. I mean, after the discovery and all that, I said, oh, okay, then that's why.
We bless God for that.
So let's start from your side now.
Okay.
I mean, you posted some prayer points this week.
Okay.
And that was what triggered me. I mean, seriously, when I saw, I said, no, This one, you know, there are two ways of bringing people to this room. I mean, there are times I pray before, but there are some that the truth is, I did decide before even praying about it.
In your case,
I told you that we are doing it before I even started praying about it. Because there are instances, you know, that this one, there's the will
it
of God.
Good.
You should go this way because
it's good.
It's important. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is.
So, yeah, let's talk about, let's start from
okay,
that.
Brother Ben, thank you very much, and a peaceful evening to all your amazing listeners out there. In fact, the summary of all that you said is why praying for our children is non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole summary. And one foundation scripture I want to lay down is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The enemy prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So with all that you are saying, Brother Eben, every generation has weaknesses. Mm-hmm. We are going to pray. We are going to get some prayer point. But I just like you start with a foundation, I want to lay this ground so that we can take it from there. Every generation has weaknesses. But this one, this generation that we are in, has warfare at the speed of light. Somebody will ask, what is warfare at the speed of light? You know, every generation carried its own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But this generation of children are fighting battles older generation never even imagined. So you're using your son, which is, that's why I said, everything you're saying just aligns with what God led me to come and talk about today. They are fighting warfare through speed.
Mm-hmm.
Temptations arrive instantly. It's like he got the machine or the tablet or access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment he opens, you are just talking about the Google, the
incognito mode.
Yes. Yeah. It just comes instantly. Evil enters through a swipe. You just swipe and then a certain ad just pops up.
Yeah.
Which was not there some time back.
Yeah.
Pressure spreads in seconds. I mean, you see the thing and you are pressured to just go get it or go do the same thing. Confusion travels digitally. This is what my parents taught me. But everybody is going for this. Let me also go for it. And then identity distortion moves at lightning speed. This is one form of warfare. The warfare of speed our children are fighting. Another warfare our children are fighting is warfare through visibility.
What they see.
So children now see everything. When they get access to the internet or whatever, they see violence, they see sexual content, they see unrealistic standards. It's like, this person is looking this way, I also have to look that way. They see spiritual darkness, they see comparisons. And then, I mean, that's what previous generations never saw in a lifetime. Children now see it in a week. Or in a day.
A week, they talk with you. You're talking
in a day.
In minutes.
Thank you.
They have access to it.
Brother Evan, another warfare our children are fighting is a warfare of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are surrounded by many people. This generation still feels more and more alone.
Mm-hmm.
More anxious, more pressured. The energy love, I mean, You realize that is what the enemy wants for them. Oh, just be alone. Just be on your phone. They're on their phones, but they're in the house, but they are lonely.
Yeah.
And the key thing the enemy does is isolation.
Yeah.
He separates them. Oh, just go and be on your phone. Or just go and be on your tablet. Mm-hmm. And then because of silence, multiple attacks.
Yeah.
Another warfare our children are fighting is a warfare through access. The enemy no longer waits for children to grow.
Catch them young now.
He attacks their minds. He attacks their emotions. He attacks their identity. He attacks their confidence. He attacks their friendships. And then their purpose while they are still forming. So, with this, parents, we don't have to sleep.
Oh, no. Now there's worrying.
Another warfare that our children are fighting is a warfare do distraction. Our children can hear, I mean, voices, like 10 different voices before they hear their parents, especially parents who are not really intentional about what their children get access to, or who, I mean, they, let me use intentional parenting. They don't try it. It's like, oh, I'm God-fearing, I love my children, but they are not intentional about what they hear, who they hear, what who they talk to, or, I mean, the things they have access to.
What they do.
What they do. And distraction is now a weapon. Confusion is now a tool. And noise is now a strategy that the enemy is using. So this generation, actually, Brother Eben, they are not weak. They are targeted.
Oh, yeah.
It's a targeted generation. And targeted destinies require praying parents. Generation or destinies require vigilant homes and spiritual watchmen. The enemy is targeting children earlier and strategically, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, and he's using different forms of strategies. As long as parents stay silent, Satan stays active.
I like that statement. As long as parents stay silent,
Satan, he stays active. And the insight here is the enemy sees your child, our children's future, even when we don't. I mean,
yeah.
He sees it.
The potential.
Yes. That is why prayer cannot sleep. And the pattern is not like now. Mm-hmm. We should understand it. The pattern is right from Moses' time mm-hmm. and Jesus' time. So if you read Exodus chapter 1 to chapter 2, it wasn't just a historical story. It is a blueprint of Satan's strategy against children.
Destroy them.
Pharaoh did not attack adults. He attacked the children. Why? Because God had released a new generation of deliverers.
Yeah.
So just about when Moses was to be born, Satan knew that there was a deliverer coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went to Pharaoh. Kill every boy below 2 years. And this generation is definitely because it might be your child, it might be my child, it might be somebody who is listening to us, your child, who is a deliverer, who is a savior. I mean, in a certain way, there's a particular pattern that child is coming to break. So the devil has to attack because he doesn't know who it is. Mm-hmm. He knows that somebody is rising, but who is in particular, he doesn't know. Pharaoh did not know which child carried the assignment, so he attacked all. This is how Satan works today. Like I just said, he attacks the entire generation because he cannot identify which child carries the calling that will break a national pattern or a family pattern or, I mean, a pattern in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy often recognizes our children's greatness before we do. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 18.
Yeah.
Just like Pharaoh, Herod ordered the killing of all children under 2 years. Why? Because the Savior of the world had been born. And every time God releases a deliverer, a light bearer, the enemy launches a generational attack, not only on one child, but on the entire generation. I'm hitting on that part again.
Mm-hmm.
Moses' generation faced genocide. Jesus' generation also faced genocide. Why? Because destinies that threaten darkness attract early warfare. So this evening, we really want parents to understand that the devil, the enemy knows, and currently we do not know who it is, but there's a generation God is raising, and the enemy sees it, and so he has fortified himself, and he has multiplied, I mean, his various ways of attack. But, Brother Eben, the amazing thing is Moses survived because of a praying, discerning family. He survived because three people stood in their roles and they performed it without a blink of an eye. Number one, a praying mother who hid him through divine strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a watching sister who continuously monitored him.
Yeah, at the banks.
That is Miriam. And then number three, midwives who feared God. Because, I mean, when, and that is obedience.
The instruction was kill.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first one, his mother was a praying mother. She moved with divine strategy. His sister moved with discernment. And then the midwives moved with obedience. Three things they used. Now, Jesus also survived because of divine instruction and parental obedience. And I believe tonight, your message to your listeners out there is parental obedience. And working in divine strategy and discernment. Discern that the times are not good, especially when it comes to our children. Joseph received a warning in a dream. Take the child and flee to Egypt. That's what the angel told him. And he obeyed immediately. That obedience preserved Jesus from Herod's sword. The same way Satan targeted the birth of Moses and Jesus, he targets children today. Not randomly. He does it prophetically.
Oh yeah, strategic.
Strategically. Because one, he sees our children's future. Two, he sees their calling. Three, he sees their assignments. Three, he sees their spiritual potential. And he sees their influence and their light.
Oh yeah.
So he fears what our children will become, or what that child you carry will become. That is why parents must stay spiritually awake. Meaning, your children will survive destiny attacks when parents stay spiritually awake when it comes to their children.
Yeah.
And so, one this week when we had a conversation about having this discussion, I was really praying and asking God where. And then he led me to a scripture in Matthew chapter 15. And in fact, I had to mark my Bible, Brother Eben. I had to mark my Bible, put points there, that particular picture. And the scripture is about the Canaanite woman. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 or 22. I'm using the Message Bible, so it's put
sometimes
all together.
The verses, yeah.
So it's put 20, verse 21 to 22 together. So that is where we are reading. And I was just carried away by this woman's attitude. Let me read it. Then we continue. It says, from there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had hardly arrived. Jesus had not arrived where he was going. When a Canaanite woman came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." The next one says, Jesus ignored her. Jesus ignored her. The disciples came and complained. This is what the disciples said. "Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy." So it means when Jesus ignored her, she moved to the disciples. So the disciples couldn't take it. They went to Jesus and said, "Please help this woman. She's disturbing us. I mean, she's driving us crazy." And the funny thing, Jesus refused.
Yeah.
Telling them, "I've got my hands full. Like me one year. Dealing with the lost sheep of Israel, and yeah, I mean, when I maybe I find I come a problem." But the Bible says the woman came back to Jesus. So when she came to Jesus, Jesus ignored her. She went to the disciples. The disciples went to plead, and then Jesus refused. She came back. Then the woman came back to Jesus, went to her knees and begged. She said, "Master, help me." Verse 26 says, "He said, 'It's not right to take bread out of children's mouth and throw it to the dogs.'" The Bible says she was quick. She said, "You are right, Master, you are very right. But beggar dogs do get scraps from the master's table." I love this one. Verse 28. Jesus gave it. I surrender. This is the only person in the Bible I see Jesus surrender. I mean, to us. I give up. It says, "Oh, woman, your faith is something else." And I just picture the whole thing like a movie, and I can just picture a beautiful Jesus saying, "Hey, mommy, would you dear, dear,
stop one faith.
And then immediately said, "What she wants is what she gets." Right then, the daughter became well. Now, the Canaanite woman is a woman who modeled relentless parental prayer. She didn't give up. This woman teaches us how parents must pray today. And that is what, I mean, your listeners, I believe that's a message you want for them. She noticed the enemy's attack early. Her daughter was cruelly afflicted by evil spirits. She didn't normalize her daughter's torments. We shouldn't normalize what the enemy is doing.
Oh, yeah.
She refused casual prayer. She said, "Master, help me." Desperation brought deliverance. Number three, she pushed past silence. Jesus ignored her. Jesus refused her. But she pushed past silence. Jesus didn't answer immediately. She stayed. She kept praying.
Yeah.
She pushed past discouragement. I mean, people tried to shut her up. But that was when she prayed louder. When the situation is getting worse, that's when you should pray louder for our children. Mm-hmm. She pushed past delay. Jesus delayed. He didn't only refuse her, but he delayed. She persevered. She made her daughter's deliverance non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And Jesus rewarded her refusal to back down. He says, your faith is something else. Your daughter is healed. This is the fire parents need today.
Yeah.
This is the intensity our generation requires. So before we go into the topics I want us to just declare about, somebody asked what the prayer does for a child. We will all know, but when we read James chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yeah.
The prayer forms a shield around their minds. Mm-hmm. Number one, the prayer becomes a shield around our children's mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. It says, today, the mind battles are more intense than ever. We started with.
Yeah.
What our children are fighting is intensive. So the more you pray, it becomes a shield. Number two, prayer builds a hedge of protection. Like Job chapter 1 verse 10.
Yeah.
The Bible says, your home, if you read the scripture, what it does is, your home becomes spiritually insulated.
Yeah.
From the enemy. Number three, prayer aligns their destiny. Psalm 32 verse 8, it opens paths that were blocked. And then prayer shapes identity. Judges chapter 6, God called Gideon mighty when he felt worthless. The more you pray, the more the Holy Spirit will talk to your children. Make them know that no matter the situation, you are mighty. Just like he did with Gideon. So at the end, your voice as a parent becomes your child's prophecy. It is not somebody going to see a prophet. Oh, so for shemi bein kom. No, but it is your voice that becomes a prophecy.
Yeah. Because you see, spiritually, parents have authority over their children, and that spiritual authority is such a powerful thing. You know, the Bible says Proverbs. You know, life, death, and life lies in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
If you profess or you confess positive things over the children. Mm. I mean, just to chip this in, this is not intended, but parents should be careful of the negativity, the curses, indirect the curses that they say over their children. Oh, what do you say? It happened. There are people now who have to see deliverance by virtue of statements made by parents,
ignorantly or unknowingly.
And teachers also have authority.
That's where your child goes to school, you have to be very
teachers
careful.
Because when teachers keep saying negative things about a child, it can manifest.
Mm.
If there's no spiritual backing to negate it, it can also manifest.
It can.
You see, so, I mean, you see, the bottom line is life is spiritual. We have to understand that principle first and foremost. Life is spiritual.
Mm.
When we understand that principle, it makes us careful in how we assess situations. We don't assess things on the carnal side in terms of just from the what we just feel or just see casually. Oh, by the way, they say you see, so you have Christians who you tell them, don't let your child watch this, and they say, oh, I say, we say a cartoon. I mean, see, they don't have the spiritual discernment to determine that this is good or this is bad.
As far as it's keeping the child occupied,
yes,
they just
so you have parents who don't see anything wrong with giving the child access to unlimited access to internet, to I mean tablets connected, everything. So the child
for their own peace of mind, they just release. So thank you, Brother Eben. So there are four, before we come to the prayer point and when we are done, there are four areas I parents must always pray over daily for their children. I mentioned some of the areas the devil attacks.
Yeah.
Number one, as parents, we need to pray over the minds of our children, their thoughts, their emotions, their identity. When we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let's look at this Bible story. David battled Goliath externally. But Saul battled mental torment internally. And a tormented mind is more dangerous than a physical battle.
Yeah.
A tormented mind. So our children, some of them, they can't say.
Yeah.
Especially their youth. Or even children, that man is for another day, who are at homes where parents don't, they don't have that, like you said, that connection with their parents. They, some of them are tormented. Number two, their friendships.
Yeah.
The influence from friends. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. Samson didn't fall because he was weak. He fell because he chose the wrong relationship.
Yeah.
So our children, the friends they walk with, the people they call friends, we should pray for them. Because Samson, it was his relationship that made him fall. Number three, their purpose, which is calling, their calling and their destiny. We should always pray. Maybe as a parent, you don't know. It's okay. But just keep on praying. God has a plan for the child. He has planned it already.
He aligned things to all.
So just pray that everywhere he goes, I mean, whatever school he's going to, even, I mean, as he's going to children ministry or children, wherever he's, it is aligning with what God has planned for him.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you, I knew you.
Yeah.
So Joseph's destiny phase one, jealousy, lies, prison, betrayal, because that dream was too big. And destiny attracts warfare. It's, if we don't pray for them, before you know it, often it is children who carry the most destiny that the enemy attacks the most.
Yeah.
But I mean, how will you know? Unless you pray for the Holy Spirit to align.
Yeah.
The next one is their protection, which is physical protection, emotional protection, and spiritual protection. Psalm 91 verse 11, he will command his angels concerning us. And the Bible story is Jesus had to be protected from Herod.
Yeah.
Jesus had to be protected from Herod. Again, a child targeted because of destiny. So when parents stop praying, Matthew 13:25, while men slept, the enemy came in. Spiritually, strange behavior enters. Whenever we get tired, strange behavior enters. Emotional instability rises. Children loses focus. Wrong influences take over. Darkness gain access. And then silently, you know, before you know, your children are just going off. So prayer creates a spiritual oxygen. Without it, the home suffocates.
We have just 3 minutes time.
So now, as our time is up.
Oh, no. So that's why I said we are not rushing everything because we have God within the next three editions.
Yeah, so this
is a four edition episode, like four episodes that we are going to have.
So if the prayer points do not come now, is it okay?
Oh, yes. I mean, because we are starting
today. At least I'll give one prayer point that we can pray about, then we'll leave it. So as the time is up, we have barely 3 minutes to go. These are truths that I want parents to know. Three truths. One, your voice is the loudest in your child's destiny.
Yeah.
The devil's voice cannot be loud. Yeah. God has made you the parent.
Yeah, spiritual authority.
You as a parent, as far as you're the, your voice is the loudest, even above the enemy. So if you don't raise your voice, the enemy will take over.
Yeah.
That's truth number one. Take this truth, work with it. Number two, your prayer is your child's first shield. In fact, Satan fears praying mothers. He fears praying mothers to the core. And so this is also another truth we as parents should work with. Number three, your home is either a gate of light or a gate of attack. But in all this, prayer decides which one.
Yeah.
It is your prayer that will decide whether it is a home, a gate of light, or a gate of attack. So we will have our prayer points probably next week.
Oh yeah, we'll continue.
Yes.
That's an interesting series that we are on. This interesting question from Becky.
Okay.
Says, please, how do you engage the father to join in prayer for the children?
For the children. That is another topic.
It's a whole topic.
Especially if the father doesn't understand.
Yes.
But I mean, as the series still goes on, Becky should continue listening. Yeah. She would definitely
miss. But just a quick one.
Yes, please.
Whilst you are praying for the child, be praying for the father too.
Be praying.
For him to also get the understanding.
Thank you.
So don't give up.
At all.
Pray.
At
so
all.
Now it's a dual prayer.
It becomes double
father.
Job for you.
Yes,
but don't give up.
It's part of the battle. Yes. So praying for the father,
don't
praying for
up.
The children. Eventually, for his eyes to be opened.
But Eben, I will not catch you. The amazing thing is sometimes we, you know how we women pray. I mean, that we know, I know there are men who also pray loud and you know. But most times when you are a woman who prays a lot or prays loud, or and then you don't see your child's father or your husband praying, you feel, oh, probably he doesn't pray.
But maybe most times, he's praying too.
Most times they do the quiet underground
maybe,
prayer.
Yeah, yeah, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. So yeah, it's relative.
Yeah.
But like you said, just keep on praying for him also.
Yeah.
Probably he's even praying more than you are praying. Just that you don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the one prayer topic, our prayer declaration for today that will end our series is the prayer to break destiny diversion. Mm-hmm. We don't want any Pharaoh to attack us. Yeah. And so our prayer, our declaration for today, if you are listening, you can just repeat after us, and then later you can just continue praying. So if you are ready, just repeat after us. Father, every Pharaoh-like agenda,
every Pharaoh-like agenda
assigned to kill my child's influence,
assigned to kill my child's influence,
assigned to kill my child's purpose,
assigned to kill my child's purpose,
assigned to kill my child's identity,
assigned to kill my child's identity,
assigned to kill my child's confidence,
assigned to kill my child's
confidence, or destiny,
or destiny,
break by fire,
break by fire,
every cycle of early confusion,
every cycle of early confusion,
every cycle of early identity crisis,
every cycle of early identity crisis,
every cycle of fear,
every cycle of fear,
every cycle of oppression,
every cycle of oppression,
or any early childhood spiritual attack,
or any
I scatter in the name of Jesus.
Scatter it in the name of Jesus.
Now if your children are close to you or not, you can walk to them or you can mention their names, and then you say this declaration: my child survives every Pharaoh attack in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know what to say. It's a good addition. Thank you for coming. I didn't do proper introduction.
It's
godliness.
Fine, it's okay.
I'll do the one. Time is gone. But listeners, this is Eben, Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. Thank you for tuning in. It's been recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group. Listen to it again. Share it with your friends, because this is a very serious time we are in. Good night and God bless you.
Mr. Johnson, welcome to Judgment. Have a seat while I examine your life.
Sure. Does it say anything in there about me believing in God?
Yes, it does say you believed in the existence of a God.
Oh, good. I hear that's real important.
Well, I've seen enough. If you could have a seat with that group over there, you'll be taken to your destination.
Over there? Oh, okay. Next. Excuse me.
Yes?
Is that Satan in my group?
Yes, it is.
Next. Wait a minute. You're putting me in the same group with Satan?
According to your records, you never trusted your life to God.
Hold on. I believed in God.
So did Satan, Mr. Johnson. He didn't put his faith in God either.
What do you mean, put my...